Today, the last day of the Easter season, we celebrate when the church goes public, we could say. These frightened men in the upper room are emboldened by the Holy Spirit to go out and proclaim the good news. And the Holy Spirit gives them the help to be understood so people can understand what they were saying. And you know, when you think about it, if the pride of men led them to division and misunderstanding, the Spirit of the Lord brings them back together into one people through reconciliation with God and with each other. And the places named in today's first reading by the Jews are all places where the church first spread, aided by the Holy Spirit. Jews from all over Asia, Asia Minor, far-flung places like Rome and Cyrene. And they went out and shared the flame of faith of the Holy Spirit. That's what they did. And throughout the Easter season, we've seen the Spirit strengthening the disciples as they started to spread the gospel throughout the world. And with the Holy Spirit's help, the church became not just a club or a conglomerate of people who agree on certain things, but rather it's a communion of life and love. That's what the church is. It's a communion of life and love that wants to welcome everyone into the fold, reconciling them with God in the process. And in the gospel, the risen Lord gives the apostles a special infusion of the Holy Spirit, which helps them to reconcile sinners with God. And without this gift of reconciliation through the Holy Spirit, it's very important that there's reconciliation, because without it, there's no communion. And without communion, little by little, there are divisions, separations, misunderstandings that creep into our community of life and love, the church. But you know, the Holy Spirit has worked similarly all throughout church history. That is, a group of people, usually one person who's had special charisms, we call it, gifts of the Holy Spirit, who started a religious order, for instance, St. Benedict way back in the 5th century. And then the great saints of the 13th century, the great religious orders that sprung up then, like the Franciscans, Dominicans, and continuing throughout history as a response to the Protestant revolt within the church, many religious orders sprung up. And that still goes on today. It still goes on today. We can see the Spirit working in what they call now ecclesial movements. And this is something you probably haven't heard much, if anything, about. But ecclesial movements are defined as the Christian faithful, whether clerics, laypersons, or clerics and laypersons together, strive in a common endeavor to foster a more perfect life, to promote public worship or Christian doctrine, or to exercise other works of the apostolate, such as initiatives of evangelization, works of piety or charity, and so on. So what am I talking about? Well, that's just what they are. And there's 122 of them in the church today. We don't really hear much about it here in Cleveland. There was one such group about 20 years ago who came to the diocese. It started in Spain, and it's called the Nuevo Catecumenado, which literally means the new catechumenate. And they relied on pastors to kind of help them get started and do their work, but it was lay people who were from mostly Spanish-speaking countries around the world. They came to our diocese, and what they did is they would go door to door in your parish, knocking on every door to spread the gospel to people who perhaps were Catholic or lapsed Catholics or left the church or people who never heard of Jesus or Christianity even, whoever it was. And they would bring them together for catechesis, for formation. They would have special prayer services and masses for themselves and so on. And that's typical of what these ecclesial communities do and what they're all about. But when you look at it, a group of people with charisms bounded together in a common bond of love, aren't we talking about parish life too? Well, of course we are. When we have our invitation to live a stewardship way of life, our annual stewardship renewal, it's a time that we look at the gifts that God has given us and see how I can use those gifts, not just for myself, but for others, and share them with my parish family, share them with our local community, and so on. Because Pentecost is the day that the church went public, and that means for us every day to go public, that is to share our faith. When was the last time you shared your faith with your immediate family or with others outside your family? When was the last time you made the sign of the cross in public, say if you say grace before meals when you're eating out at a restaurant? I think saying grace is a very important prayer. It really is. Why? Because we take for granted, most of us here, I would venture to say, 99.9% of us probably, we take for granted we're going to have food to eat every day, don't we? And we can count on at least three meals and more. We don't have to worry about that. But that is a gift from God, as all good gifts are from God. And so when we say grace before meals, we're reminding ourselves constantly, three times a day, at least in that regard, that this is our gift from God, and God is always giving me good gifts, and we're thanking him for it by saying grace before meals. Something like a parish festival really brings out the gifts and talents of many people. You know, we have a festival committee of about 30 people. In their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, I think even up to the 80s, we have some members. And they all have different gifts and use those gifts in different ways to put together a very nice parish festival that's been going on for, I think, what, 45 years, something like that. And that's the Holy Spirit at work, even in parish festivals, bringing us together, not causing divisions and separations, but bringing us together in a common bond of love for each other and for Jesus. And so let the Holy Spirit inspire you to go out and inflame the hearts of others.